Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Hawn.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank
next
you
very question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. It is always a delight to have Coach Wannstedt with us in studio. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Morning, Dave.
I'm good. You know, it's regroup week. That's all. You know,
got to regroup.
We got to regroup, and you're going to have little ups and downs like this during the season. And I've always believed this: when you have a tough loss, you know, the NFL is. This is how it's an emotional season, and it's when you're winning, you got to squeeze every W out of that team and schedule that you possibly can. And then on the other side, when you do lose a game, you got to get it turned back, because the NFL is all about momentum, all about emotions, and you got to get it turned back the other way as fast as possible.
So you're the head coach of a team that feels like 3-2, you could probably be better than you are right now. If you were Matt Nagy, how do you prioritize your off week?
Well, you know, you're going to look at the balance, I think, of the offense. I mean, and you know, I said that my biggest fear going in, not just to this game, but to any game, when I looked at the Bears last year and the success that they had coming forward, watch them in the preseason, I said, you know, I think the Bears are going to be fine as long as that defense keeps creating some turnovers and some good field position, because the offense does a fantastic job of taking advantage of the turnovers and field position and putting the ball in the end zone. I said, what's going to be real interesting, and it happens, and it happened last week, when the defense has a little bit of an off day and the turnovers are even, which they were, how is the offense going to be good enough in the last 5 minutes to close out a game and win one? And I think that's still, you know, where my focus is, separating a great team from a good team. And you know, so I'm sure that Matt Nagy, I mean, these guys are smart guys. They know that. And let me just say this one comment about the whole game, and we can talk about running, not running, fullback, not fullback, kicking game. You know, to run the ball, hear what I'm saying now, because I know about running the football. to run the football and to stop the football, you have to be emotionally all in. And by that, and I'm serious now, you could go out there. We would face a team that was a passing team, whether if I was at the Bears or I was the Cowboys or Dolphins, wherever. And if they were a passing team, you could have one guy, right, that you knew was really good and ready to play, and he beats somebody and makes a sack, and all of a sudden everybody kind of gets the motor running, if you follow me. But if a team's running, I don't care if it's Khalil Mack, you got to have everybody involved in stopping the run, and you got to have everybody involved in running the ball. And that's what was missing in this game. The Raiders were ready. The Bears weren't. It's as simple as that. But, we can talk about everything else for hours.
I think we should talk about this, because I think you're absolutely right, Dave. I think it was very obvious from the beginning of the game. What I don't understand is, especially on that defense, we were comparing them to the 85 Bears after they beat the Patuzzi out of the Minnesota Vikings, brought him in here and just punched them in the face. And to see them a week later, albeit in London, albeit traveling and all the rest of it,
right,
a week later, get punched back in the face and have no counterpunch. I mean, if you're playing with emotion, If you don't have that emotion, if someone hits you, don't you find that emotion? Don't you, if you're going to be compared to the 85 Bears as one of the great defenses ever, don't you respond as a team starts to beat you? Or is it too late to have that emotion?
No, I'll tell you what happened, though. The problem is if they would have, you know, the Raiders did a good job. And keep in mind, Derek Carr has been to some Pro Bowls, right?
Good. Three.
This guy is a better player. I mean, I don't know all the quarterbacks. We could go through the Bears' schedule, but he's going to be in the top five quarterbacks that the Bears face all year. I mean, no, I really believe that. I mean, he's, other than Aaron Rodgers, I mean, think about who they've faced.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Right? Think about that. Now, okay? You know, in Minnesota, right, and the whole bit. Okay, so put that aside. So my point is this. They're running the ball, and they're picking up 2 yards, 3 yards. And the Bears are trying to, but then now all of a sudden third down comes. And what happens? They convert because it's third and five, it's third and four, it's third, and they keep the chains moving. It's tough to get into a rhythm. It's tough to make a stop. It's tough to make a big play when your backs are against the wall like the Bears were.
What you're describing is a mentality, emotion, mentality, a mindset. That goes for players, but it's got to go for the coaches too, Dave. You've got to be committed from a coaching staff perspective to say, I'm going to run the ball, and if you don't want me to run the ball, I'm going to impose our will, and I'm going to run the ball anyway.
Well, true. Now, but if I'm Chuck Pagano, I'm really, really bent out of shape with the performance, and I know Chucky well. I'm sure he is. All the defensive coaches are. Players are too. Let's put this thing together. But – put on that Minnesota film. Dalvin Cook and those Vikings, they run the ball. Kubiak and those guys, when they were at Denver, they were one of the best running teams in the National Football League. So they know how to block you. They know how to run the football. And the Bears completely demolished the Vikings. So I don't think we can say they lost it. You know, I just think emotionally they weren't ready to go. I think the real Bears are defense, or the defense that we saw against the Vikings. And everybody has an off day, and the other side's got to pick it up. And, you know, your backup quarterback's in there, and you're unable to do it. I mean, it's almost too simple in my mind, but I'm simple, I guess.
What's fascinating about that is that they were understaffed against that team, right? They played the Vikings, and Akiem Hicks didn't play in the game. Mm-hmm. Is it more deflating to have him start and leave the game? Does that damage you more than not having him at all? And Roquan Smith missed that game with personal problems. And, of course, we saw a really good performance from Kwiatkowski, a very physical game.
Right.
And Roquan was back, but he didn't seem to be back.
Yeah.
If that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, whatever he was working through personally, I mean, that's a tough week to do it. Think about it. You know what I mean? You're trying to get squared away yourself, and any of us in that situation, and you're talking to people, whatever it was, and you're starting to get it in everything in line, and now all of a sudden you got to get on a plane and fly to another country. I mean, that's a lot, I think. And, you know, whether he was or wasn't, I don't know. Akiem Smith, though, that one hurts. I mean, that was a brutal injury, and players know. I mean, trust me, when they saw the arm and the doctors, it doesn't take but 2 seconds for somebody to turn to the assistant trainer, you know, and say, how bad is it? And the guy just nod his head. You know what I mean? And that goes right through the team.
They said he was in the tent and he was screaming in agony. Yeah. Like,
it looked pretty bad.
Heard that.
Yeah, it either broke or was dislocated, I would be willing to bet.
Dave, when you take a step back and you look around the league, and it's a copycat league, every pro sports organization is, you look at the teams that had great weeks, and I think teams that are having good seasons, the Colts won by running the football. You know, last night, the 49ers, they won by running the football. Green Bay is a different team when they run the football. The Packers 4-1. You didn't expect them to be that way.
I didn't bet it, but I would have lost everything. Them going to Dallas and playing an angry Cowboy team that got beat the week before by the Saints. I mean, and all you're talking about is defense and running the ball with the Packers. Really? Think about that.
But that's a sea change in the league. I mean, things are looking like,
you know what?
Last year was all about offense. Is this year all about the running game?
Google Rick Goslin. You know Rick?
Yeah, sure.
Rick's a great guy. Yeah. And he had something yesterday. The teams that threw over 300 yards were 4-5. And teams that rushed the ball over 100 yards, just what you're saying, I think were 7-1. I think there were 8 of them. I don't know if the we'll check out those numbers. Is Dustin here yet?
Dustin's doing nothing over there.
Confirm that, Dustin.
Dustin's eating his sandwich.
But I'm agreeing with you.
Right, right.
And these young offensive coaches that are coming in the league. I mean, most of these guys are quarterback guys. Most of these guys are passing gurus. And I tell you what, if you turn to them and hand them a chalk and say, okay, we're seeing the bare front, the old 46 front, show me how we want to block this thing, it would be interesting.
Yeah, they get bored. 312-644-6767.
Jimmy Johnson would love you on that one.
I know. I always think of you whenever I say it. All right, we've got Coach Wanstead for another segment. We're going to get back to him next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Wanstead, hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And Coach Wanstead here with us in studio. And Dave, we have the information you were seeking. Teams with a 100-yard rusher went 7-1 over the week.
Mm-hmm.
And 300-yard passers went 4-5. And the Bears, of course, had neither.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, it is. You said it, Dave. I mean, that's a.
Does that resonate in a coaching office, though?
You hear it, yes, and you think about it, but you got to do what you have to do to win the game, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they're looking at it now, who they got, New Orleans right after the bye,
yeah.
Right? And they'll be watching that Saints game. They'll see what the Saints do this week. And then you make up a game plan that. Obviously, every game kind of takes on a life of its own. So what do we got to do to win this game? Offense, defense, and special teams, and that will be the plan.
Molly and I talked about earlier about, you know, it's great when the Bears have so many weapons, and we compliment Ryan Pace for going out and getting guys and drafting guys, and boy, they are deep at wide receiver, and boy, do they are deep at running back. At some point, do you have to simplify if you're Matt Nagy? When you take a step back, not that you would rather have fewer weapons, but do you have to make a priority list about, okay, Allen Robinson, Tariq Cohen, David Montgomery. After that, I can't guarantee anything about this offense.
Well, I don't know if the word is simplify. I mean, I think what they're doing, they have to do better. You know, I mean, I don't know if they're not going to change philosophies. I mean, you're not going to go in there and all of a sudden become a running team, you know, a third of the way or a quarter of the way through the season. That can be disastrous. I've seen that stuff try to happen before. But I think what they need to do is they can do it better. You know what I mean? That would be my message. Okay, this is who we are. This is the personnel that fits our philosophy. We know what we're doing. We're in this hunt to win the division, and nothing. Our goals haven't changed. What do we need to do better, guys? And then you put it up there. I mean, this is a great week that you put it up there, you know, on the board in black and white for every player and coach to see. Hey, guys, whatever it is, in third down, you know, look how many third and fives that we had that we are not converting. I mean, you know, when you give them range, so everybody walks out of there and understands. You know, we get it. We understand there's a clear picture of what we have to do moving forward, offense, defense, and special teams to get better. And you don't overreact. I mean, the players, this team has got a lot of character. I'm sure these guys are bent out of shape. They never thought that would happen. But you got to learn from it.
Every game, every loss is a blueprint for the next team. You know, we know it's a copycat league, mm-hmm. and you look at how mm-hmm. teams play you. We know that, you know, there was a book on how to play Mitchell Trubisky. Is there a book now on how to play Chase Daniel? Is there a book now on how to attack the Bears' defense?
Well, Chase Daniels, I think, I'm never going to fault. I mean, the guy's been in the league 11 years. He's a backup. He knows the offense. He's doing everything he can. You know, he's not. I mean, I think if you got a lead like we saw against Minnesota, and you're playing with a lead, you know, he's going to manage a game. He's going to, you know, he should make good decisions, which he didn't. But I don't know if he can bring you back if you're 10 points down in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes to go. Is he that guy? No. Otherwise, he'd be starting somewhere. So I would not. Now, the one thing that happened in that game that bothers me, and I was thinking about this, did you notice the blocking scheme that the Raiders were doing? They were, when they ran that first touchdown, the fullback went out, and he tried cutting the legs of Khalil Mack. The backside guard cut the legs of the tackle. I mean, they were chop blocking. When they had the long run on the sweep, the guard came out, and he dove at the legs of Trevathan. That, and this is what I was thinking. I'm saying, okay, if I'm the coach, I always put it in that perspective. How are you going to work on this stuff? Because in practice, you can draw these plays up. And if you're coming off and I'm trying just to shield you off, you know, Dave or Molly, that's one thing in practice. But now if the game comes and now I come off and I try to cut your legs out from under you, that's a whole different animal.
When you're changing
animal.
Direction.
That's a whole different animal. And you know, are you going to practice it or not? That was the question we always had when we were in college and we would play these wishbone teams. Think of this. And the wishbone teams were always chop, chop, chop. Well, you know, we didn't care. We went out there and it was full speed. I want you to try and blow his leg out, you know, and hopefully, you know, the Scott team guy couldn't do it. But if we didn't go full speed, we really felt like I used to wear shin guards on my defensive linemen because those guys would come off and cut you, and I was afraid of someone getting their leg busted. So our defense, I mean, my point is this.
You can't practice that. Yeah.
In the NFL, you're not going to practice those cut blocks. And it was, I hadn't seen as much of it in one game is what I saw the Raiders doing. And, you know, I know
and there's a difference between a cut block and a chop block because there was one chop block called. A chop block is when one guy engages him and another guy takes the knee out.
Or it's a combination.
Or you're coming from the outside in and cutting a guy. Right. I'm just talking about you're lined up head up on me and I dive at your legs.
Dave, good-natured Matt Nagy sounded pretty ticked off after the game. He sounded pretty ticked off the morning after and doing interviews. How long does a loss like that stay with a head coach?
Oh, boy. I mean, with a bye, that's brutal. I mean, I've been there. You know what I mean? When you win coming off a bye, boy, it's the greatest 4 days, it's tough. Unless you're a coach, it's tough to understand this, but it's like the greatest weekend when you get a day or two off in the world. And when you lose one, it's tough. And I heard Matt Nagy talk about Chase after the Minnesota win. And he said, you know, Chase is like a coach on the field. Coach, he knows this offense as good or better than I do. And then you go out and you throw a couple interceptions, two. It could have been three.
Yeah, easily.
Right? It could have been three. And I would think, knowing Matt a little bit, and him being a quarterback and a guy, that probably disappointed him as much as anything.
What about when you have like a special teams problem? You know, now they scored a touchdown, but obviously that 97-yard drive wouldn't have been possible without the fake punt and without the block punt.
Right.
The roughing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Running into the punter.
Running into the punter. So,
yeah. Well, you know what? I heard Matt's comments that he was fine with the special teams. You know, obviously Cohen made a big play on it, but they gave up that run on the kickoff, and you know, so that's was special teams any different than the defense guys? No, right on how they performed. Was special teams any different than the offense? In my mind, it wasn't. I mean, this is not everybody played good, but the special teams, they weren't all.
No, they
weren't. They
all
were
complete team loss.
Absolutely, Mike. Yeah. And that's how the category I would put it in. I mean, and we've all seen those losses where, boy, the defense plays lights out and the offense turns it over three times and you lose. This was not that type of game. This was a team loss. Everybody's accountable. Regroup, learn from it, and move forward.
Dave, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
Great to all right, talk guys.
Great to see you.
We feel better about everything when we talk to Dave about it. It's just, let's see if they can do something about it. It's
talk to Tom Thayer about those chop blocks.
I'm real curious. You know, and he went over the tape. I mean, 23 double teams or triple teams sent at Mac in the course of that game. That's a lot.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
ProFootballTalk.com. NBC Sports. Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We
getting
beat!
We get beat! NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Mike. Doing great. Hey, how are you guys today?
Good.
Well, we're trying to figure out what the Washington Redskins are doing, and I guess three names have jumped out as possibilities in their head coaching search, one of whom is Mike Tomlin. That's curious.
Yeah, that is curious. And look, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not accustomed to losing. They're 1-4 right now. If this continues, I could see the fan base supporting the idea of a change. The Steelers would want to have to make a change. Tomlin would want to be out, and Washington would want to have him. And he'd want to have to join a team that is dysfunctional top to bottom. And, you know, that's the reality. Any coach that has options is not going to opt for Washington. You have to be a guy that's got nowhere else to go, that wants to be a head coach, or is sufficiently hard-headed to think, I can cut through all of this crap and end up turning the team around, because Dan Snyder's not going anywhere, and by all appearances, Bruce Allen isn't going anywhere, because he's essentially the surrogate owner. He's not held accountable. If he was, his 42-75 record as the guy in charge of the football operation would have gotten him fired by now. So he is as entrenched almost as the owner of the team. If you take that job, you have to accept that going in.
Mike, how many more bad losses are the Browns from starting their own coaching search?
Well, you know, it's funny because Jimmy Haslam, the owner of that team, is trying his damnedest to shed that reputation that he developed early in his tenure with the team as a guy who was too impatient with coaches. So he was way too patient with Hugh Jackson. And now with Freddie Kitchens, what we're starting to see is what happens when you roll the dice on a guy who had never called plays, who had never been a serious head coaching candidate, but because he fell into that job last year as coordinator after both Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley were fired and Greg Williams became the head coach and they turned it around and they didn't want to make Greg Williams the coach, and so they roll the dice on Freddie Kitchens. How much time do they give him to figure out how to do this? And right now at 2-3 with upcoming games against the Seahawks on a short week for the Browns, extra time for Seattle, and then bye week, trip to New England, they could be staring at 2-5. And the schedule does soften after week 10. They've got the Steelers twice, the Bengals twice, and the Dolphins in the final seven games of the season. But it may not matter if they can't turn it around and win some of these games. And they need to win one of the next two to restore some confidence in this team, because they just got outclassed last night. Both sides of the ball, they got out-muscled, they got out-hit, they got out-schemed, they got out-everything by the 49ers, who are exactly the team right now that we thought the Browns were going to be.
Washington's new head coach, the interim, is Bill Callahan, proud son of the South Side of Chicago. You got to love the South Side Irish guys, Mike. Now, you look at a guy like that, what's he going to do with Dwayne Haskins? Is it possible that Haskins becomes the next Josh Rosen? You know, Rosen, of course, a number 10 pick, replaced by Kyler Murray, traded. Haskins, number 15. There's a beautiful storyline where, again, if they lose to Miami, maybe Tua is the guy. I love the idea that they would draft Joe Burrows and they'd have a guy that Haskins beat out in college come in and take his job and trade him. What are the possibilities there?
You know, and that's a great point. I mean, Rosen was the 10th overall pick, and he got supplanted after 1 year in Arizona, but that's because the Cardinals believed that they had a generational talent in Kyler Murray, and they very well may have that. A lot of it depends upon how the rest of this season plays out, and a lot of it depends upon who the next coach is, because look at what happened last year. Cliff Kingsbury gets that job. He was all in with Kyler Murray. It was already pointing in that direction from the moment Murray said, I choose football over baseball. So it depends on who the coach is. And ideally what you'd like to do is hire a coach who says, I'm all in with Dwayne Haskins. But the problem is they're all going to say, I'm all in with Dwayne Haskins until they get the job. And then you find out who they are really all in with, like when Josh McDaniels went to Denver, and the next thing you know, Jake Cutler's the Bears quarterback.
Yeah, we remember that one all too well, Mike, all too well. You know, back to Washington, Bruce Allen talked yesterday, but what's going on with Trent Williams? Is he going to be a guy that holds out until week 10? Is he going to be a guy that is on the move? They seem committed to keeping him hostage as a Redskin.
A lot of it depends upon what his objective really is. If he wants to get closer to free agency, and he's got 2 years left on his current contract, he needs to get there in time to be on the roster for 8 games in order to comfortably satisfy the rules that allow you to fulfill the year of your contract instead of having everything pushed back a year. If he waits too long, his 2 years left under contract go from 2019 and 2020 to 2020 and 2021. So if he wants to be able to check off that year, he needs to get back fairly soon, especially when you consider roster exemptions and bye weeks, and it gets complicated, but he's already in that bubble where he needs to be thinking about coming back, if that's what he wants. If his objective is, I'm never playing for this team again that I believe mishandled my serious medical condition that fortunately ended up not being a malignant tumor on my head, but was simply benign, if he's never going back because of that, then that's a different story altogether. And Washington's misplayed this from the get-go. The moment that there is a guy who is justifiably disgruntled, and Trent Williams was justifiably disgruntled with the medical care that he received from the team, that's when you have to fix it. Make it right. Do what you have to do. Kiss his butt. If that doesn't work, kiss it harder. If that doesn't work, give him money. Do something to make him feel that he is valued, that he's appreciated, and that he was wronged by the team. Because he doesn't want to be there, and for whatever reason, Bruce Allen has decided to be hard-headed and stubborn, and he's refusing opportunities to trade this guy, so they get no value out of Trent Williams. I mean, look at what the Texans gave up to get Laremy Tunsil, and I know Kenny Stills was part of the package, but a good left tackle is going to get you some good return. This would be the time to do it, and we'll see. There's 3 weeks left before the window closes on trades, but Bruce Allen made it clear yesterday that at this time they're not thinking about it, but it, you know, at this time may have not been just filler. At this time implies things could change over the next 3 weeks.
It looks like Mitchell Trubisky will be back after the bye. And again, everyone in Chicago kind of holding their breath to see what the defense looks like. Never mind Mitchell Trubisky or the quarterback position. It was a team that beat up the Vikings pretty good. And then they follow that by getting beaten pretty good by Oakland. And Oakland gives them the old Wilson enema, as they like to call it, running the football down their throat, so to speak. What do you make of that?
I don't know a lot about enemas, but I don't think that's where they go.
No, I know. It might be another orifice. But what do you make of the Bears in terms of that defense? We were talking about them in connection to the 85 team, and now we don't know what to make of it. They got beaten, like flat out physically beaten.
Yeah, what stunned me is the Raiders go up 17-0. The Bears snap out of their funk in the third quarter. They go up 21-17. It's like, okay, the world order has been restored here in the NFL. The Bears are going to win this game. 13 plays, 97 yards. That is a stunner. And one thing that I want to look at carefully when the game film is available, and it usually is available on the NFL Game Pass application on Tuesdays, Richie Incognito from the Raiders said after the game that they were deliberately physical with Khalil Mack. Now, it's one thing to double and triple team him. It's another thing to kind of give him the business and go after him. And Incognito drew a 15-yard penalty for, you know, a push to the head of somebody who was down on the ground. It wasn't Mack. But I want to see what kind of stuff they did to Mack, because they know him. There's people in that organization that were with him for 4 years. And apparently they had the code cracked on how to get him off his mark. And if other teams start doing the same thing, that's a red flag for the Bears going forward. And it's a definite red flag to see a team like the Raiders, which was without several receivers, and Derek Carr is by no means a shortlist franchise quarterback, to see them go right down the field to get the winning touchdown is very, very concerning.
Raiders 3-2, it feels kind of fluky, Mike, but John Gruden says no way. That's who they are, and you look at the way they run the football, maybe that's who they are.
Yeah, it may be who they are, and you know what? Running the football is back in vogue, and teams are looking for offensive balance. Look at what the 49ers did last night with 275 rushing yards against the Browns. If you can run and you can pass, you can move the ball, you throw in a good defense, and that's how you win football games. And I think those old cliches that we hear all the time in our cliches for a reason, they work, and they have meaning, and you need to be able to run the football. You need to be able to stop the run. You need to be able to pass off of play action. That's how you get those big plays. That's how you stun defenses. And when you can follow that up with a good pass rush, a good secondary, that's what you need to aspire to. And you see the Patriots in the AFC that have that balance. And I said yesterday I thought the Packers were the most balanced team in the NFC, but after what I saw last night, I think it's the 49ers right now. And at some point, we all got to wake up and say, hey, this team's for real. And they get their chance to really prove it in L.A. against the Rams this weekend.
Mike, thanks a ton. Always a joy to catch up to you.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.
That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and, of course, NBC Sports. And interesting to think about where the Bears are at and how we did view them versus the lens we see.
He just described the 49ers, and if he's believing in the 49ers, that's the surprise team in the NFC. That's this year's Bears. Last year at this time, you know, the Bears are sitting there. I mean, maybe not yet, but they were the surprise of the NFC. It sounds like he believes that could be the 49ers this season.
Does that mean the 49ers eliminated in the playoffs first game?
Well, it won't be because they have Cody Parkey, because he signed with the Titans.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today.
How about that? Cody Parkey, a Titan.
Yeah, at least the Bears get a slight amount of money back. They do. I'm just saying. You know, they're not going to get back the money they paid for him, but he's probably on an NFL minimum, and it's prorated after 5 weeks. And if he can last for the rest of the year, they could pick up as much as, what, $600,000, something like that?
Something like that.
So that's, you know, hey.
It's something.
That's a small chunk of change. Poor Bears, they need it for flying everybody over to London.
Well, Titans aren't going to the playoffs anyway, so they don't have to worry about him missing a big kick in an important game.
Because they're not going to play an important game?
Correct.
All right. That's mean. Speaking of mean, we'll bring in Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight next. Molly and Hall on the Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.